You warned me, Jeff. You warned me not to open Steam. So I wouldn't find extra games to add to my list.
That's right.
And I did.
Oh, no.
And there's 10 extra games.
What?
The adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old.
So before we give everything, we have to address a note that we were emailed. A good friend of the show, Jeremy Capozzi, a friends of ours from college, in fact, sent a blasphemous email, a painful, hurtful, truthful email, if we might read it here on air. I've been enjoying the podcast very much lately. I'm taking the time to listen to episodes that I've missed, quite a few. I'm sort of going back in time from the latest ones to the earliest, if I skip ahead. I'm just reminiscing about destroying you both in WWE No Mercy.
I can't believe it.
So many chair hits in those handicap matches. Anywho, keep up the great podcasting and parenting.
Wow. Okay. That hits.
So firstly, he's not wrong.
Yeah, that's the hard part to stomach.
This guy was such a savant of WWE No Mercy.
WWE, yeah.
It was uncanny. And he's not kidding about handicap. He was so good, he very literally would be one, him against Jeff and I.
Yep.
And we would lose terribly.
Horribly. Yeah, it wasn't even a contest. I don't know what he was doing. It's almost like he was, you know, practicing during the night of moves that didn't exist in the game. And so
I think every gaming dad has probably had the experience where you're playing somebody. And I had this a bunch in my youth, especially with like first person shooters. GoldenEye was awful for this. But you had the one guy who was so good, you could swear he was cheating.
Yes.
You knew he wasn't, because like you set up the controllers, like you know he's not doing anything funky, but it's just he is so good, and it's like you hit him 10 times in the face and he grazes your foot and you're dead. And it's just like, what? What's happening? How are you so good at this?
It feels good to be that person, though.
You've been that person before?
So, well, you mentioned GoldenEye, and I was that person. No one could beat me. Like, nothing. Nothing could strike me down in that game. So, when you're on top, Trevor,
it's a sweet
look
taste.
At all the people that try to get your crown. It doesn't happen. So, I can see where Jeremy's coming from.
All right. So, apparently, it's just me that's never experienced that. But
Soon.
So thanks so much for the shout-out, Jeremy, and how dare you bring up such terrible memories. Now, so as I mentioned on the top, it was a bit misleading. I didn't purchase 10 new games.
Oh, okay. I thought you did.
I found 10 other games that I could not keep off the list of games I had to beat. Right?
Oh.
But listen, you're going to hear some of these you're going to agree with. Like to know that I own this game and to add it to the list, you would be like, of course you had to do that.
Okay, right? I'm hoping not one of them is open world.
I can't make that promise.
Okay. Okay, all right.
So the ones added to the list, the Gaming Dad list, and for any of the listeners not aware, last episode I came out with what I'm calling my backlog gaming list. These are... At the time, it was like 14 games that I had to beat before I dive into any new properties. These are incredible games. I own them. It's time to go through the dreaded backlog, get these done.
Right.
I was told not to look at Steam, but I did.
No.
And I've added 10 other ones because I couldn't let them pass. But I think everybody here will agree with one. Maybe one or two questionable ones. All right. Undertale.
Yes, you have. Okay, yes. Yes,
you have to beat that one. That's what we're talking about here. That's the caliber, right?
Yep.
I own caliber and I hadn't beat it.
Have to.
So it's got
to
get on there. So Undertale. Okay, Transistor. Now this one's a bit more on the fence. The thing with Transistor, the reason for me is that I had actually taken a little bit on the side. I do some voice acting work. And the reason for that was that company's other game with... what's the name of it? I'm blanking.
You didn't do voice work for that game, though, right?
Oh, God, no.
Okay, because I was wondering where this was going. Like, you've been holding out on me. Like, this...
Okay, hold
your
on.
Your voice is good, but I didn't know it was that good.
I'm going to do some research. I'll blow this. I won't have this in the episode.
Well, I kind of like it when it is in the episode. This like, is where Trevor Googles.
This is part where Trevor Googles something. It's just taking so long. Because it's Supergiant Games.
Yeah. Right.
Which super giant just eating up so much podcast time here.
That's not good.
Super Giant Games. Do you want to see Bastion?
Yes.
Bastion. Yeah.
Yep.
So the narration, the voiceover in Bastion is so fantastic. Like it literally inspired me to train and start a side like voiceover career. Like that's how great it is. There's an interviews with the man who does it, and it's stunning. So that I had owned Transistor, and so that for me means like I want to get through this other game of theirs, because that game has been one of the greatest ones I've ever played.
Fair enough.
I added Resident Evil 4.
Oh, what? Okay.
You've never beaten
that one?
I've never played that one.
Oh, okay. Yes, you should play it.
Okay, see how this list is going? This is all... I know.
That's a decade-old game, though. It's not
aware.
More,
so. I'm very aware, but it's an utter classic, right? It's just...
That's true. That is true, yep.
And I own it. So, okay, now BioShock Infinite.
Okay.
Now, I'm saying Infinite, and I do own... And I'm willing to hear some feedback, either from you gaming dads or you, Jeff, here. Because I own BioShock 1 and 2, and I think I don't have the other ones, and then I have Infinite. But I was just thinking, why not kind of jump? I wanted to play a BioShock game. I'm not doing them all. Why not kind of jump to the latest and greatest, which got really high appeal? Is that fair?
I think that's fair. Especially, with that one, I think you'll enjoy the palette of that a little more. The art, mm-hmm. the artwork is like fantastic. It's a whole new level.
Yeah. So it wasn't so much about like, so I'm not trying to say it's the greatest BioShock game, but it was like the latest one. And since I've never beaten any of the BioShock games, that's the one to do it. All right.
Go for it.
Batman Arkham Asylum.
No, don't do that one.
Don't do that one?
It's a Batman game. You will be infatuated with every little like trinket and token that you have to seek out.
And I have beaten a Batman game. Okay.
You've never beaten a Batman game.
I have.
Oh, okay.
I did beat a Batman game.
Right.
So, okay. I'll do that. Now, this one's a bit interesting. So, Broken Age. Now, this is a point-and-click adventure from Tim Schafer and Company. What's the name of the company?
Oh, I couldn't tell you, but it is Tim Schafer.
It's definitely Tim Schafer anyways.
His company.
His company, creator of Psychonauts. The only reason I say this is because I was a backer on the campaign.
Oh, okay.
On the Kickstarter campaign, like I funded it because I thought it looked great, received it, own it.
You should own it and beat it then, yeah.
Right? So just... And then we have... Here's another one. So in this, Spec Ops The Line.
Oh, because we've said it multiple times. You need to play this. Okay. Right? Yep.
Spec Ops The Line.
Yep.
And then, as I mentioned, so Creed was going to be the one thing that I don't own that I'm going to own. Because I've been pining so badly for a boxing game, and it's a VR boxing game. And that's so amazing as far as people coming over and playing. That just had to go.
Right.
So they... So the
you
list...
are adding to your list. You're going to be out a few years before you get to anywhere.
But I'm good. Gaming. That's the library. These are the ones that I own. Barring like surprise gifts or something, like I should be able to lock in and get these done. That feels like a good like 5 years of dad time, though, is my one concern.
You kind of sound more like those. You remember those old infomercials with like a new release of a CD title track, and it would go through all the songs, like all your list of games, and then at the bottom would have the you must buy sold separately, blah blah blah, and you're adding all these asterisks just in case you get Christmas presents, holidays, birthdays.
Might include. Okay, that's actually a great way to remind everybody to list. Let's do a take at the top as far as like a radio ad.
Including Moss, Doom, God of War, No Man's Sky, Shadow of the Colossus, Undertale, Horizon Zero Dawn, Ori and the Blind Forest, Transistor, Fallout, Shadow of Mortar, Resident Evil 4, Bioshock Infinite, Broken Age, Spec Ops The Line, PSVR titles include Raw Data, Ultra Wings, Drive Club, Mario 3DS, and Creed. That's not PSVR, but results may vary.
That's pretty close.
And actually, I said PSVR, and then the next line I read was Street Fighter to Silver. And I was like,
yeah, well, no.
I kind of blew it, so.
It works.
So those are the games. See, look at those voiceover chops.
Is he coming into play?
That's my list. I'm thirsty. Shows started, and, you know, as a part of ending off the summer, the new dads are looking into beer pick of the week, and we're going to crack them open now, because that few episodes we made the mistake of having them sit there and sweat in front of us deliciously the whole show.
That was a mistake. We need to do it now.
We are going to crack them. Cheers, and we're going to reveal the beers towards the end of the show. So let's go ahead and make that noise.
All right.
Cheers, Jeff. Nice. Oh, God, it's over the keyboard. What have I done? And this is just about the most perfect fitting beer for the podcast, so I'm very excited about it.
Okay.
Now, we've heard of my gaming list of shame. Why don't we talk about your gaming list of glory with your new Wonderful World and Nintendo Switch? What's the latest and greatest there?
So the latest and greatest is that I am addicted to Zelda.
Great. You've gone down.
But
you've kicked the chicken too many times, Jeff.
Right. And I will say, like, that game earned such high praise last year. Like, it was above 90s, no question on the quality of this game, which I am going to say that I need to play it every night because it just hooks you in and you just need to get into the world. I totally agree with that. But in terms of storytelling and even graphics, it's not great. It's not
heresy.
It's not a good. I've seen better open worlds, put it that way. So again, I come from a long line of Witchers, and
proud tradition of Witcher, proud gaming dad tradition of Witchers.
Yeah. So I've seen a game world that can be fully detailed. I'm not saying Zelda should be going for, you know, super realistic graphics. They have a very unique art style to that world. But a lot of it just seems so barren, and you fight the same enemies over and over, and you kind of get in this repetitive motion of what to expect next. Like, they give you all the tools up front, which is great. I always wanted games to give you all the tools up front so you can work with them and learn how to use them. But then there's no added bonus of discovering something new that way. So
right.
I don't know what it is about it. It is totally addictive. I still completely recommend it to everyone, but it hasn't hooked me the way it's hooked reviewers, where they have no ifs, ands, or buts about the quality of the game. There's even some frame rate hitches in there too,
wow.
Like quite substantially at the beginning of the game. So,
jeez,
it's just it's kind of a unique thing. I don't know if it wasn't called Zelda, I'm not sure it would get the same praise. So put it that way. Zelda does hook you in just by name alone, and I think that's part of it, and it's part of that world. It's part of something you can kind of identify with. So, again, I encourage everyone to play it, but I am playing it just because I need to, and I need to see it through. But I will say it does have its faults. Definitely has its faults with it. So
it kind of sounds like you're almost like resenting it, and that was, like it's hooked you and it's good, but because of the same interactions and the way that the open world, it's not like I'm so happy to be in here.
Yeah, like there's specifically one mechanic where every weapon is breakable, like every single one. So I understand why they did it, because you're constantly trying to figure out where all these weapons are, and it forces you to use different tactics. But it is beyond annoying to fight something and then have your weapon break mid-battle, and you're like, oh, really? Here I go running. All right, let's fight him with a twig I picked up later. Like,
let's get the
this
stick.
Is great. So
yeah, that really turned me off. Like, that was, that would really bother me. Cause especially when you grind and you fight, or you find that amazing weapon.
Like, yeah.
That's such a joy, but then that joy is taken away from you because you can't use it.
Well, and that's the problem I have too. I'll save it and then I'll just never use it. It's kind of like, I'll relate it to Final Fantasy, where you have elixirs
and you
just never use them. You get like, I'll need this one day. And then you end the game with like 50 elixirs because you never use them. You just think they're so, you know, few and far between or expensive that you'll never actually go to use them. So anyway, totally addictive though. I will need to play it again tonight. So there's something there.
There's something to it, but So obviously we're struggling quite a bit between gaming lists and fighting that Zelda urges. But that's just our gaming dad trials and tribulations. There's some gaming dads out there who are winning at it all, and those dads win Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. Each week we feature an exceptional gaming dad and often their kids who are doing fatherhood and gaming so well. This week's victory goes to Justin Snyder and his daughter Meadow for sharing gaming time together, creating content from it, and invoking the words every gaming dad wants to hear. Daddy, I want to play the rocket ship game again.
Yes!
I want those words so badly in my life.
Like, I know, I can see it in your eyes now. It's just...
Oh, it's the twinkle. That's such a message of hope that your kid could say this. What rocket ship game are we talking about? No Man's Sky.
No Man's Sky.
So, Jeff, you could run us through the photo that Justin posted.
So the photo is his three-year-old daughter in front of No Man's Sky. She's got the controller in front of her, and she looks like she's shooting a mining laser, which I think later on he calls it, she thinks it's a hose. Like, so you're spraying people instead of lasering things. It's a nice. Big green hose, and that is the cutest thing I've ever heard. So,
oh, man.
It's truly amazing that she can just... And it's holding her interest. Like you've said on this show before, that game is totally colorful and involving to some kids that it will just stick their imaginations and they can run wild with it. So, kudos.
Yeah. Like the building components, start off. Non-violent. I mean, there's like parts where you can theoretically shoot things and ships and such, but it's really not fundamental.
Secondary.
You can build, so the whole creative part, your mining, discovering. The animal part is adorable, and it's so cool to see different ones. So,
yeah,
man, to see her engaged and playing, loving that game, playing it, and now asking for it,
dream.
That is gaming dad dreaming right there.
It is. You'll get there.
One Friday. Now, it's hard enough for a gaming dad champion to fit in some gaming time, let alone put in some time to create and share too. And yet Justin does it.
Yep.
So, and he ties it right back to this gaming with his daughter. So I speak, of course, of Justin's YouTube channel. So specifically, it's a playlist he put together called Meadow Plays. YouTube channel itself is the Snyder Family, which we'll link to the playlist and to the YouTube channel. I encourage everybody to check it out after the show. But to see his daughter discovering and playing through games is adorable. It is fantastic. It's inspiring because it's just, how fun is this to watch a little one experience gaming this way?
Yeah, exactly. And I've gone through it with my two kids, so it's something to kind of behold. And especially when they don't really understand gaming mechanics too well and they're learning, I encourage everyone to check out his YouTube channel where she plays Assassin's Creed and she thinks it's like Moana and she has to get a sailboat, which is probably the cutest thing ever. It is kind of like Moana. They are. You do need to get a sailboat and go, we'll see. We'll see. Go find Maui. We'll see what happens.
You're right. No, the No Man's Sky video where she is losing it. She's laughing so hard as she's pressing up on the controller and the player kind of seems to be jumping, trying to like climb the wall.
Yeah.
Just, man, to see her laughing while that game is playing in the background is so great. Tell you, the phenomenal gaming dad content. So absolute and utter kudos. Could not be a more fitting recipient of the Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. Congratulations. If you'd like to be nominated for Gaming Dad Victory of the Week or know somebody else deserving, please reach out to us at our website, newdadgaming.com.
And new dads, listen up as we go over this week's highlights and what happened in the world of gaming. In case you missed it last week, Nintendo had another direct presentation with a whole slew of games coming to their platforms both in 2018 and 2019. Highlights included City Skylines, Civilization VI, Yoshi's Crafted World, Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, which is a super long title, and a new Animal Crossing game is in 2019. Of special note, Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy IX, Final Fantasy X, Final Fantasy X-2, and XII will also be on the Switch in 2019. Yep, no love for Final Fantasy VIII out there, but who knows, maybe it'll come soon. They also dove into their paid online services, which is launching this week, and the results are very, well, they're underwhelming. $20 US a year gets you cloud saves, of which will be wiped out if your subscription lapses. You'll be given 20 NES games at launch to play around with, and playing games online won't be free anymore, so take note, Mario Kart and Splatoon players. Oh, and they also mentioned that there will be voice and party chat now, which is offered through an app on your smartphone, which is basically a phone. So all in all, the online services at this point are pretty grim, and us dads are waiting for the heavy-hitting things like Netflix, YouTube, and a virtual console store to come to the Switch soon, hopefully. But what's interesting is recently Assassin's Creed Odyssey has gotten gold, and while such a detailed game is only launching for PS4 and Xbox and PC in the coming month, the Nintendo Switch has it in Japan. That's right, in Japan, the Switch is streaming games it can't run. There have been other services that have been tested in gaming streaming to a console, but apparently with the infrastructure in Japan, it's quite easy with very little lag. So, will the next console generation focus more on the portability power like the Switch, or continue the trend of having a beefy home console like the Xbox One X and PS4 Pro? We'll have to see in the next few years how the technology plays out. And if you think you are spending more on games these days, you're probably right. The industry's consumer spending is up a whopping 40% to $19.5 billion for only the first half of 2018. This isn't surprising with such blockbuster releases like God of War, PUBG, and Fortnite, but what is surprising is some of the games don't really belong there, like Candy Crush and Roblox, but who knows, as a gaming dad, we're getting into new fields. Even hardware spending is up because of the SNES Mini and Xbox One pushes, and more spending usually means more investment in the industry, so here's hoping we get a little more innovation and not stagnation. And if you haven't heard it enough, Battle Royale mode has launched for big games like Dying Light, which is now a standalone title called Dying Light Bad Blood. Players will fight other players for resources, all the while avoiding zombies in a fast-paced bid to survive. Call of Duty Black Ops 4 is another game to implement Battle Royale mode, with the beta being launched this past weekend. Early impressions of that one are actually quite good, with it being, and I quote, a polished PUBG experience. So we'll see how companies change the formula between the games. Otherwise, this whole Royale mode will turn to cheese quite quickly. As for releases this week, we have some highlights that include Transference for the PS4 and the Xbox One, Scribblenauts Mega Pack for all consoles, Capcom Beat-em-up Bundle for the PS4 and Switch, and Undertale finally comes to the Switch. That's it for the gaming news this week. Catch a nap and tune in next week for another update.
And to round off our segments, we are going to launch into Gaming Dad Beer Pick of the Week. So we've been sipping away at this for the whole show thus far, and I think, Jeff, you might have had some experience prior.
Yep.
So just about the most perfect tie-in to a Gaming Dad podcast, we are looking at Space Invader IPA from Amsterdam Brewery. Yeah. And this can just caught my eye immediately going through the beer store. And then, which is great enough that the can alone kind of looked like it was going to be a tiny one-off craft brew.
Yeah.
But then to see that it came from like Amsterdam Brewery,
right? Yeah.
Which is a fabulous Canadian craft brewer. It was great. So like, what's your impression of it, Jeff?
So again, this is another citrus one, like really citrus taste to it. But again, having it ice cold and it's pretty strong. It doesn't taste too strong, but it is 6%. So, you know, you might have one, two might put you to sleep, but one is great. It seems to kind of hit the spot, especially on a hot day like it was today. But I can see it kind of being, again, a sessionable beer in between the other ones that you kind of have lying around. So, and again, like you mentioned, the artwork on the can is fantastic. It's total gaming dad. It's bright. It's got this little skull Space Invader type character. So it's all like the pixel art stuff.
Yes. I mean, the description on it, too, is like, prepare yourself for an invasion of cosmic flavor. The sky is the limit only for those who aren't afraid to look up. Defend yourself.
Love it. They're having fun with it. That's what I like.
Yeah. Now, I find it quite hoppy, but not insultingly so. Like, it certainly, I don't tend to like hoppy beers necessarily, but this one I could definitely go for again.
Yeah.
Which I always like. I like when it is hoppier than I would like normally, but it pulls it all together in such a way that I enjoy it. So yeah, and you get some of those citrus notes that you mentioned, but for me, the biggest standard is definitely the hops of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, right at the bottom too, like I'd never seen the label before, but as Jeff mentioned, it's like 6%, and it says strong beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it is, sir.
Yep. You will feel this one in a bit, so.
That is an excellent game, and as a gaming dad, if you can find this one, what a perfect one to throw into your beer regiment. So
totally.
Well done, Amsterdam. That is a delicious brew. Now, how excited are you for all of those Final Fantasy games on the Switch?
That's I don't want to buy them for another time, Trevor. This is not something I want to buy 7 times for Final Fantasy VII. But what a console to play it on. Now.
You can switch up Final Fantasy VII.
It's totally portable. It's totally worth it.
You can take it wherever you need to.
I know. It'd probably run better than... I think I have the iPad version of Final Fantasy VII, so...
And Cloud, your buddy, he's right in your pocket. Anywhere you go.
My problem...
I wonder if they'll have, like, the fast-forward features that they introduced in mobile.
Oh, yeah, they better. For one, they better. And they better not price these suckers at, like, $40-$50, because that is just getting ridiculous. And Square Enix is no... They don't shy away from doing that for the iOS version. So I think that was like $29.99 or something when they launched. So I don't know. But again, I liked Final Fantasy VIII. I didn't originally, but I kind of grew into it later. And it's never been remastered. Like it's launched on PC once, but it keeps getting left out of every series redraw for these people. So I don't know what the deal is.
I had an unfair hatred for it. Like, I didn't like it. I hated it so... I didn't like the characters, like, the look of it, like, the story that I kind of read about. And this is, like, young me, like, when it first came out.
Yeah.
And then I discovered that you get paid a salary as opposed to getting money from each battle.
Yes. So that was something different. And as well as the draw system. So you don't have magic, per se. You have to draw it out of things. And that was a mechanic that people didn't necessarily like. So if you had fire spell, you'd have to draw the fire spell out. And then you only have that many times to use it.
Yeah, see, so that was not... Between those things, I read that, and it's just, I don't want to play this. Which is weird, because I guess... Well, and I'm as a Final Fantasy nut. Like, I love those games.
Yep.
I just couldn't... It's like, I don't want to play this. That sounds awful.
I totally hear you.
I had some friends who had played and hated it because of that payment system thing.
Yep.
Because they'd buy, like, a bad sword or something, and it's like, well, see you next paycheck.
It's too real.
Yeah, exactly. What is this, real life? Forget it. Man, all the games they announced, it was nuts. It was such a massive, massive injection. I would have never guessed that Nintendo would score Final Fantasy games again.
No, and it's kind of a cool homecoming for them, like just to kind of have them back on. And who knows? They do have Final Fantasy 15, but it's the pocket version. You know, the dumbed down version for mobile. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see something else as well. Like it's kind of a cool thing for them to kind of spring on everybody.
You can imagine that if they sell really well, you can almost imagine Square Enix looking at their next one. And saying very specifically, either it has to also be on Switch or it's only on Switch.
Right. Well, look at Octopath, right? Octopath Traveler is fantastic, original, and it's exclusive. So maybe they're back together. Maybe the old band got back together and they're just starting to, you know.
The old romance rekindled.
Yeah. The Switch is quite an install base, so we'll see. I don't know.
Yeah. Now, will that install base continue against the announcement of Switch Online?
That sounded awful.
It's
pathetic. It is really pathetic. And I'm disappointed because it's almost like it's retroactively done too. So I have Mario Kart 8. Now, for me to play online, I now have to get a subscription, which kind of sucks. It's not full price. Like, you know, it's $20 US, so maybe 25 Canadian or whatever, which isn't too bad, but still, come on. It was free before.
Is that for a year or is that for a month? That better be a year.
For a year. Yeah. So it is for a year, but you get very bare bones stuff like cloud saves, NES games, at least make it Super Nintendo or N64. But then, you know, they eat in their own sales of those minis. Why would you buy a Super Nintendo mini when you can get your NES games on?
But the loss of subscription thing, I mean, so you and I had a gaming session. I think we were playing Warframe. Yep. And before we started, I had to rebuy my PS4 Live subscription.
Yeah.
Because I forgot. Like, I let it roll out, and I had a credit card that had an older one that expired, and it's just like, oh, you don't have Live anymore. So imagine just you slip of the tongue, or like you're out for some amount of time, and you come back, and like you let it lapse, and you lost all of your saves.
Yeah,
they're just gone. Like, that's terrible. Gone. Like, awful.
Why would you do that? And not even speaking with dads, but what about your kids? Like, Nintendo's always viewed as like a family-friendly console. You buy it, it's done, right? Like, there's nothing you need to worry about. Now you have an online subscription that controls saves and multiplayer experiences and all sorts of other things that parents are going to have headaches with and maybe not know how to answer. I don't know.
Yeah, and the chat on the phone. Well, I get, you know what, honestly, like, as far as I used it for Destiny, and talking with a clan when we were doing that a bit, and it's great because like you don't have to fiddle around with trying to type things on screen through PS. Yeah. That part makes sense, but like that's for me as a grown man. Like for your kids,
right?
That's troubling. Like, so they have to have my phone.
Yeah,
they have to have a phone, which that's a dicey scenario. Like, what's how are you gonna play that? Like, that's a little. I get it. But it's a little bit of a bizarrely anti-family move in some ways.
I think so, too. And I think they're not sweetening the pot enough for a lot of people. I think the voice chat, great. That took you a year to work on, though. Like, there's, again, as I said, like Netflix, YouTube, Amazon, a browser, those are all in 3DSs. So I don't know why that hasn't made their way over to the Switch. Like, I don't know why we're going backwards and then patching in. PlayStation 4 was the same thing. Like, they launched with, you know, minor features and then they patched them in. Hmm. But they don't know how to work online yet. It's scary.
It's still funny how bad they are online, but
yeah, everything
before,
else,
before it felt a bit more because they were really focused on family or just that true fun gaming experience. And now, that's at the same time as launching all the Final Fantasies come to the Switch. Yeah, yeah. Exciting, awesome. Yeah. Here's our online offering.
Ooh, boo.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you're doing so great. Now, the streaming, though, to hear that Assassin's Creed Odyssey, a true AAA game offered as... Yeah. Sorry, is it Odyssey, yeah?
It is Odyssey, yep.
Offered as a streaming title in Japan. Like, damn, that is something. Like, if Nintendo's the one to crack that nut, like,
yeah,
they figure out streaming? Really?
Yeah, and then there you go. Everybody would just buy their console because why would you bother with anything else? Now I can take it everywhere. But again, like Japan, you need that infrastructure. They're highly wired together and Wi-Fi hotspots everywhere. So I don't know if they'll break it over here. But, I mean, PlayStation's trying it with PS Now, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that successful with just... It's an added subscription and there is lag still. So I don't know. We'll see where it goes. It is something to come.
The tech has always been there, and I mean, I even have my I'm an owner of the Shield, mm-hmm. the Nvidia Shield, which I can stream my PC to anywhere on the same Wi-Fi network.
Yep,
and it honestly has worked. I have had it work remotely, so I've been in a different location with Wi-Fi, been able to stream to my home PC. Okay, like there's some shutter and such, but like it works like well enough. Yep. So the tech is there. It's just really the connection, the internet, to be able to pull it off.
Yeah.
Yep. But man, if Nintendo is the one that really launches it with any type of support and actual games for it, like, geez, that console just gets better and better. Like, lousy online system be damned.
Yeah, well, yeah. They have their own exclusives, and then you can go play the big juggernauts of the third parties. You can have your Call of Duties. It won't matter. So
Call of Duties. It'd be kind of neat. Thank you for the transition, because... I am so shocked to hear people actually enjoying Call of Duty Battle Royale. That's
yep.
I thought that was just going to get raked across the coals. Like, so they're saying it's good?
They're saying it's a polished PUBG experience. So everything that PUBG tried to do, they were a little slow on maybe patching, you know, the little fixes in and alterations. And now you got this AAA company coming out with big money with one of their big franchises and maybe blows you out of the water like as soon as it launches. So I don't know. We'll see. Like, Call of Duty is very fast, frantic, so they have it in their blood. Like, they have that player base.
They just I guess they got so much flack for it because, you know, it's following the leader. And there's no denying that. Like, you're tapping into the trendy thing. It is what it is. But, I mean, to be fair, Fortnite was not a Battle Royale game. You know, like, they saw it out. They saw it out there in the ether and decided, yeah, like, we want to jump on this too. And I try to think about a different scenario where they release Call of Duty 2020. Like, it's just another Call of Duty game. Yeah, like, it's just, sure. Well, it's not interesting, right? Like, they were the absolute cream of the crop.
Yeah.
Like, it was the greatest online, like, first-person shooter. And full disclosure, like, I never played them. Like, especially not online. Like, just not for me, but I could respect that. Anybody who liked to do that, like, that was the game you went to. So, but what were they going to do? Were they just going to release another game? Like, perhaps this was actually a really smart move. And if it's actually, if they did it and it's good.
Right.
Like, it's notable. And this is fun. I'm going to stream it. And okay, now people are going to tune in. It becomes a big thing.
Exactly.
A little less cartoony than Fortnite. And you don't have to build. I don't know. Especially if they maybe don't have building. Because I think you and I were put off a little bit from our Fortnite experience with all the building nonsense.
Yeah, I think the building, like, it's a mechanic that can be in certain games, and maybe it works to some extent. I remember Starhawk. Starhawk was an amazing game that had a building mechanic in it, but it wasn't building walls and staircases and stuff. So maybe you just need a straight shooter that can implement this whole new world with, you know, the technical prowess that is behind Call of Duty. Like, that is a huge team of people that can make this thing run silky smooth, and maybe that experience is, you know, that is something that gets into esports, because PUBG has been trying to get in for years, and it's too glitchy of an experience. So maybe this breaks that, and they win.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but it's like so Call of Duty and everything, they were always plagued. Like, it was kind of an ongoing joke that you're generally going to go on and play with, like, swearing 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
But as much as that was a joke, like, I think it was still very much seen as, like, an adult game. And one of the things with Fortnite is it really feels, and it might be just perception, but it really feels like you're just getting owned by, like, 10-year-olds and 12-year-olds all the time. Like, it feels like a juvenile game. And it's not just the aesthetic.
And the art style, right? Like, the art style is very much towards that,
Which I kind of, you know, I dig it, but it feels like a youth game, right? And so much of the coverage of it is, like, are your kids playing Fortnite? Or, like, your kids are...
Yeah.
You got to be careful with your kids in Fortnite and all the dangers your kids could face playing this game, right? Yeah. As opposed to Call of Duty, which is like, no, this is a adult murder simulator. Like, this...
Yep.
This,
yeah.
Now, so perhaps it's a piece of, like, you know what? I want an adult battleground type of experience as well that perhaps is kind of filling a void.
And I used to play a lot of Counter-Strike in my day, way before kids, because obviously
Counter-Strike Pro, you know, you played the circuit, you're
totally on tour. CSGO, done. But I used to love it. And it's not Battle Royale in like free-for-all, like you are on teams and stuff, but I don't know, you connected with a lot of people, you had a blast. As a dad, though, there is just a lot that needs to wait until late night, until your kids are asleep or whatever. And I'm not sure that scene is the same, but who knows? Maybe some dads can make it work. It's kind of hard to put it on pause.
Yeah, we could certainly share Fortnite with our kids. So if you had to play with them around, there's that. But when they go to bed, maybe you want more of a dad experience.
Exactly, that's right.
To go down smooth with your Space Invader IPA.
That's right.
I just want to crack a Space Invader IPA and jump into a good old murder simulator with A bunch of adults, but probably a bunch of 12-year-olds.
I need to go and nuke something. Okay.
Have we got a game for you? So, good on them, man. I'd like to see games succeed. And if they remix the formula enough and it fits, great. That's awesome. I kind of hope to see them. I'd be curious to see about the microtransaction, if they resisted pay to win. But
they'll be there. Yeah. I would like to see them innovate and push competition. Do you know what I mean? Like, all right, PUBG was probably out first. Fortnite kind of pushed it in a different direction. Let's see what Call of Duty does to push everybody else around. And then Battlefield 5 is launching with a Battle Royale. So let's see what they do.
Oh, man. Vehicles pressure's
and such, right?
Pressure's on for them. Man, if they just come out and it's a dud.
Yep. Like,
shots fired. Literally and figuratively.
Literally shots fired. That's right.
But with that, we'll wrap it up there for the week. Thank you, everybody, so much for listening. If you'd like to get a hold of us, you can find us at our website, newdadgaming.com. We would love to hear from you for show ideas, questions, notes, anything else you'd like to speak with us about. You can find the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, and anywhere else you find your podcast. We would really appreciate a like, a subscription, and a pass along to any dad who games. We're very much focused on growing the channel and improving the quality. So definitely reach out, give shares, anything you'd like. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Trevor, and I have a 3-year-old, a game list of 17, and a 1-year-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have an 8-year-old, 5-year-old, and I am going to play some WWE to try and practice against Jeremy. This has to happen.
God, so flash quickly to a Rocky montage. It's
yes.
Just you and I, like jogging in the snow.
We're
chasing
in Russia,
bears.
We're picking up logs.
Getting ready. Just training our thumbs relentlessly so we could finally beat Jeremy Capozzi at WWE No Mercy.
Yep.
I own it. Man, I own that. He is talking about N64, right?
There you go.
I own it. Man,
what
it's
are you
on.
Doing? Let's go.
Capozzi, if you're listening to this still, it is on. We will report back on how that turns out.
We need
probably not well.
Live stream that. Yeah.
I'm sorry to report that we physically have been beaten terribly. It turned out so poorly. We're coming for you, Jeremy. Everybody else, thanks for listening. See you
later.